coming up on All Access.
Brady takes the snap. He looks left. He throws left for Gronkowski. Makes the grab. Runs away from the defender. Slips another hit by Ward. Across the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Let's just say, great catch, great run.
Lobs a throw right corner for Chandler. Touchdown, Patriots.
No, my job hadn't changed. That's, you know, whatever the coaches asked me to do, go do it to the best of my ability.
When he brought up the idea of doing a trip, doing a mission with Pro Football Hall of Fame players to Israel, I was like, wow.
My life has been very much enhanced by bringing people to this country.
It's a good football team. I'm sure that we'll get, you know, their best shot. You know, they're talented. They're well coached. They're tough. They're a physical team, and we're gonna have to do a good job.
Patriots suffered their first loss of the season on the scoreboard while suffering more losses on the personnel side. Welcome to Patriots All Access presented by GEICO. I'm Steve Burton. A whole new chapter was written Sunday night as Denver continues to be the Patriots' house of horrors. Twice the Patriots gave up two touchdown leads, while linebacker Dante Hightower and tight end Rob Gronkowski have been added to the injury report. Hopefully those are short-term injuries, as New England will have to find a way to win starting late Sunday afternoon against the Eagles. We'll preview the Philly game, and it looks like they'll get Sam Bradford back. But before we do, let's look back at the sights and sounds of the Patriots' loss in Denver.
The sounds of the game are brought to you by Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots.
Champs are here! The champs are here!
He looks left. He throws left for Gronkowski. Makes the grab. Runs away from the defender. Slips another hit by Ward. Across the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
That's how you set the tone on the road.
Here we go, 12.
Here we go, baby.
No way to get it going.
Hey, let's just say great catch and great run.
Feeling some heat. Stepping up, looking to run. Chased by Ninkovich. Osweiler to the outside left side. Taken down.
Hey, good job, D.
Hey, he's back.
Good job, D.
Dropping back. He hits the ball high in the air. And Lippington intercept for the Patriots at the 15-yard line.
Jones.
Chandler Jones caught it. Jabal Sheard got to the quarterback to force it.
Hey, that's that drill. That's that drill, DG.
Tom takes the snap. In the pocket, has time. Lobs a throw right corner for Chandler. Touchdown, Patriots.
The field's really starting to get slick now. We got to play with our feet under us and wrap up on the tackles like that last one you had, Rashawn. Okay, I mean, it's hard to get a hold of them, all right? We got to do a great job of wrapping up on the tackles, getting everybody to the ball, and playing with our feet under us. Okay, it's going to be an ice rink here. All right, we got to play with good balance and good leverage.
Everybody to the ball. Everybody to the ball.
Tries to get to the outside. Turns the corner to the 10, to the 5. Across the goal line. It's getting in for a score.
Let's see what kind of mental toughness we got. All right? Come on, stat. Hey, they got a few plays. That's our big deal. Let's go pound it out. Let's go win this thing, all right?
Throws to left side for Caldwell, made the grab, touchdown Denver. Brady with a snap, four-man rush. Tom stands in, throws it left side for LaFell, on the up, has it, and he gets out of bounds with a first down completion. looking for the tie in the final second. Snap of the spot. He drives the kick, headed to the uprights, and the kick is good! Tied at the buzzer! Osweiler with a toss sweep left. Running room across midfield to the 45. That's near sideline, across the 30, he's gone. Raising his right hand, carrying the football in his left. In the end zone, touchdown Denver. The Broncos win it.
Time now for Coffee with the Coach, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time to sit down, talk with the coach now. Coach Belichick joins me. And Coach, tough one out in Denver, obviously. After the game, you said you were proud of the way your team fought. You guys overcame a lot of adversity throughout the course of that game, being up, being down, battling back. Was it actually tougher on you when you went back and you actually look at the film that the game was there for the taking?
Well, it was. I mean, I think that's the way it felt Sunday night. Yeah. You know, it was getting overtime. You look at that, and, you know, any play, there's a lot of plays along the way that could have made a difference in the game. So I think we all kind of wish there was one or two that we had back.
I'm sure. And obviously a lot of is talked about the muff punt. I mean, you could go back throughout the course, any year you coach, and say, boy, one play can change the course of a game or give you momentum, like the Brian Cox hit, you know, back in 2001. Can you look at that punt and say, boy, that's really where the game flipped, though?
It was one play. We certainly had a lot of opportunities. I wouldn't overdo it on that one.
Right.
There were a lot of big plays in the game, but we had our chances and we had our opportunities, you know, before and after that. And we could have just done a little bit more with any of them. It might have made a difference. We just couldn't quite get it done.
And I know there's been a lot of talk about officiating. And back when I played, I know what the process was. If you had issues with certain calls in a game or if the way something's happening, you send it into the league. And was a play called right or incorrectly? What is the line of communication with Dean Blandino? Is it open? Isn't it open line communication with his office? Do you get a good back and forth with him?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. No, Dean's always available to answer any questions that I've had and, you know, gives the explanation. Sometimes they feel like they made the right call. Sometimes they feel like they might have made a mistake. So, we made enough mistakes ourselves Sunday night. That was really what we need to worry about. And I don't think any game's ever going to be officiated perfectly. So that's the human element of it. But I think that all evens out in the long run. We just got to do a better job of controlling what we can control and, you know, let the officials do their job.
All right, Coach, thanks a lot. Coach will return later in the show. But first, more of All Access right after this.
Coming up on All Access,
we sit down with tight end Scott Chandler.
It's been pretty good. You know, a lot of wins, more than I've had in a long time.
And later, Patriots owner Robert Kraft leads a group of NFL Hall of Famers to his home away from home.
I couldn't ask for a better trip.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots, and by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
I say the person with the most influence on me to help me get to where I am today, I say it's been different people at different points in my life. You know, when I was in high school, it was a fellow teammate. He was 2 years older. His name was Dominic Legrand. He was actually the best player in New York City. I didn't play football till high school, and going into my sophomore year, I didn't want to play, and he got me to play. He got me working out, and he actually got me to become who I am. I say I always believed that if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here.
But a big hit in the backfield by Dominic Easley. Under pressure from Easley, and he'll be sacked inside the 35.
Give that one 100% to Dominic Easley.
Where I'm from, people are really blunt. So if you're really blunt to me, I respect you more as a person.
The give to Ivory, runs it right side. Cuts back inside and there to meet him, Dominic Easley.
When I went to college, I see my father help me out more just because I was going through a lot of stuff and changing. And what he went through in his life, he went through a lot of change. So he just told me his wrongs and his rights and tried to guide me.
To Kim, Kim McFadden left, and he goes down. It was Dominique Easley on the stop.
Bortles dumps it off underneath. The grab is made, and down goes the receiver. Dominique Easley celebrates his tackle.
It was my junior year in high school. We had a basketball game, and we played our basketball games at night. So after the game, there was like a big argument, scuffle, and one of my friends got shot literally right next to me. And after that, like, I never wanted to be around that, because the only reason why he got shot, because he seen the man with the gun and moved in front of it away from me.
Broncos celebrate, and the Patriots, of course, in dejection, will depart.
Sunday night in Denver, the Patriots experienced something they hadn't done in a long time. They lost the game.
It's been a long time since we lost a meaningful game, and it just sucks.
Meanwhile, another week and more injuries to deal with, as New England held its collective breath, watching Rob Gronkowski go down in a heap.
He's going to stay down on the turf, and he's writhing in pain.
The good news is, Gronk will be okay, but it was the kind of hit that Gronk's quarterback think may need revisiting in the offseason.
Everyone else has their legs protected, you know, in the NFL. You know, I don't see why a defenseless receiver shouldn't get his legs protected either. So maybe that's something they look at in offseason.
The Patriots are hopeful that reinforcements are coming. At wide receiver, the team signed free agent Demaryius Johnson, while Danny Amendola appears close to returning.
It's hard. It's, you know, you obviously put a lot of work in during the year, and I want to be out, there on every game, so got to deal with it. You know, got to do what I can to get out there.
And on defense, linebacker Jamie Collins has returned to practice after missing the month of November with an illness.
I'm just glad he's healthy. You know, I'm glad that he's doing good, and he's a great friend, and I'm just happy he's out there playing with us.
Since 2000, Bill Belichick's team has an impressive 52-8 record in the month of December. And as the calendar turns from November to December, the Patriots begin with a date against the 4-7 Philadelphia Eagles.
It's a good team that's got a lot of guys coming back. You know, they have their own challenges that they present to us, and we're going to have to do a good job.
How good have the Patriots been following a loss? Well, since 2003, the Pats are 38-4 following a loss, and they've won 11 straight games. Meanwhile, Tom Brady, over his career, he's 40-8 after the Patriots lose a game. In other words, this is a resilient group. From the CBS scene in Foxborough for Patriots All Access, I'm Dan Roach.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access, everyone. Joining me now is Patriots tight end Scott Chandler. And, well, let's take it all in. This is your first year here?
Yes.
What are your thoughts so far?
Well, I mean, it's been pretty good. You know, a lot of wins, you know, more than I've had in a long time. So it's been really fun to keep stacking them up. And, you know, we still got all our goals in front of us here.
Is this place what you expected it to be?
Exactly what I expected it to be, really. Yeah, I mean, I think playing against these guys, you know that they're a fundamentally sound team. They're well coached, and, you know, the players are smart and they play hard, and that's what I've gotten.
You're not the first, and you won't be the last to come in here and try to earn Tom Brady's trust. What is that like? How difficult? Explain to the fans how difficult that is to be an outsider coming in and trying to convince him to, hey, you know what? Yeah. Give me the ball.
Yeah, I think any quarterback, that's so huge, is you have to have that. First, they have to know that when you get out there, you're going to know what to do.
Right.
And then it becomes, you know, can I trust him to throw him the ball? And, you know, I think that's something that still is continuing to be built there. And, you know, I think that starts in practice every day. But, you know, Tom's great at communicating and does a really good job of telling you exactly what you need to do to earn that.
With Rob Gronkowski going down, do you feel like there's more responsibility on your shoulders?
No, my job hadn't changed. That's, you know, whatever the coaches asked me to do, go do it to the best of my ability. And, you know, that's the way I've approached it every game this year, and that's the way I'm going to continue to approach it.
All right, man. Good luck against the Philadelphia Eagles. Hopefully get that winning streak going again.
That'd be good.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Scott Chandler, I guess we'll be back with more Patriots All Access right after this.
Hi, I'm Christian Fourier with this week's edition of the SB Live Point Counterpoint Debate. All right, with all the injuries on the offensive side of the football, specifically in the passing game, the question is, can the Patriots rely on their running game?
We all know the offensive line has taken its lumps this year, but things are changing. That's the key to having a reliable running game. Guys are getting healthier, and finally, Bill Belichick is going to be able to decide who are my five guys. Other than Nate Solder, guys are getting healthy. That means the running game's going to get more reliable as the season winds down.
We're 11 games into the season. The Patriots are still a pass-first offense, even with the injuries. They've tried to give LeGarrette Blount more chances in recent weeks. It's resulted in 3.5 a carry, 3.5 a carry, and 3 a carry. The offensive line isn't made to run. Blount's not good enough to run on his own. It's a pass-first team.
All right, this offense is all about changing schemes. One week you're a running team. Next week you are a passing team. It all depends on who you're playing. This week against the Eagles, they can run the football. They can lean on their LeGarrette Blount and get yards. Big picture-wise, not really sure. We're going to have to wait to see if they can count on them week in and week out. All right, I'm Christian Fourier with this week's edition of the SBLI Point Counterpoint Debate.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Coach Belichick rejoins me now, and we talk about the Eagles. All right, rough couple of weeks for the Philadelphia Eagles. But when you look at them, and I know you have a lot of respect for their coach and Chip Kelly and his approach and his style, philosophy, whatever you want to call it. And I know how you prepare your teams. You're not going to sit there and say, well, this isn't a very good team we got going on here. But when you look at the film, do you kind of throw the last 2 weeks out where they've had some issues and just look at them, the whole body of work, and see the positive things that they do as a football team?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, look the way they played against Dallas and the Giants and New Orleans. And, you know, I mean, there's plenty of examples of, you know, really good football games that they've played. And even in the last couple of weeks, there are a lot of things that they've done well. I know score hasn't always reflected that, but, this is a good football team. I'm sure that we'll get, their best shot, and they have a lot of good players. They have some guys coming back that, probably didn't play in these last couple of games. So they're a very good football team. They have a lot of talent on all three of their units. They're outstanding in the kicking game, and their front seven is very dynamic and explosive, and they have great skill players offensively that, you know, all of them really can make big plays. So, they're talented, they're well coached, they're tough, they're a physical team, and we're gonna have to do a good job.
How much do you have to worry about tempo? It seems like they've slowed down a little bit, but there are games where they do play a little bit faster.
Yeah, well, they definitely play, the ability to play as fast as they want to play. So I don't think anybody plays any faster than they do. We'll have to work on that, and that'll be the communication and just making sure that we're in the right spot at the start of the play. That's number one. Then we still have to play the play, but just getting lined up properly and having good communication, I'm sure that'll be an issue.
Okay, time now for the Ace Ticket Twitter question of the week. Comes from Chris in Fall River. Since you guys haven't lost a game with meaning since maybe a calendar year, after the loss in Denver, how quickly do you start to turn that page and start thinking about the Philadelphia Eagles? Is it getting on the bus? Was it at the podium? Maybe when you step into your office and you open the film? When's Bill Belichick turn that page and get ready for that next week?
Well, I think, there's always a little bit of preparation leading up prior to the game, and then after we actually played Sunday night, then there's a process of going back and reviewing the game that you've just played, mm-hmm. Identifying, what you did right, what you did wrong, what you need to work on, so forth. And then, certainly by 24 hours after the game, then the page is turned and you're on to the next team, in this case, Philadelphia. Sometimes it can happen a little quicker than that, like when we played Miami on Thursday night or
short weeks,
that kind of thing. Yeah, you just spend less time on the game that you just played and just move right into the next opponent. But, I think there's a balance there of trying to, you put a lot of time and energy and effort into that game. You want to look at the results of it and see what modifications or adjustments you need to make, and then start to work on the next opponent.
All right, really good answer, Coach. You want to ask Coach a question, you got to follow the team on Twitter, @Patriots, hashtag it, AskBB. You talked about special teams, explosive plays. We're going to see that in the Belichick.
Offense, defense, special teams, we got it all.
All right, Coach is going to sit tight. He'll be back later in the show with the Belichick. But first, more of All Access right after this.
Coming up on All Access.
NFL legends travel to a land far away for the trip of a lifetime.
They were passionate about it, and they loved it. They knew all of us, and they knew about our history.
But first, Coach Belichick introduces us to the Philadelphia Eagles on the Belichick.
Every play on special teams is a challenge against the Eagles.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Gillette One Pro Glide Refill, up to 1 month of comfortable shaves. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Congratulations to Reading High School's John Fiore, who has been selected as our High School Coach of the Week. The Rockets blasted Stoneham 35-0 on Thanksgiving Day to improve to 11-1 on the season and clinch a spot in the Division II MIAA State Championship game at Gillette Stadium on Saturday. Presenting the award here at the stadium is Patriots Hall of Fame linebacker Andre Tippett. The Patriots Charitable Foundation will donate $1,000 to the Reading High School football program in the name of Coach John Fiore.
This player profile is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Patriots owner Robert Kraft has been leading missions to Israel for many decades. Earlier this year, he spearheaded one of the most unique missions of his lifetime, inviting 19 members of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Their mission? To help spread the gospel of American football to a region fascinated with the game, while being able to experience a journey through this historic country. Here is their story, a touchdown in Israel.
It actually started a couple years ago with my relationship with the Prime Minister. He knew that Mara and I used to take missions.
I know that he's loved Israel for a very long time, and when he brought up the idea of doing a trip, doing a mission with Pro Football Hall of Fame players to Israel, I was like, wow.
My life has been very much enhanced by bringing people to this country, and in many ways it's changed their lives.
Every time I went out on a football field on game day, there was the fear of failure, the fear of getting beat. You always sought that higher power, that higher source to give strength and to do the things that you were scared that you couldn't do on your own.
Kind of unique.
One of the fondest memories I've had of this trip was seeing my Christian brothers give testimony to their faith and be baptized in the Jordan River.
In Jesus' name.
I suspect half of them thought that they're converting to Judaism. They've fallen in love with the state of Israel, but maybe not.
They were passionate about it, and they loved it. They knew all of us, and they knew about our history.
I think we've lit the torch pretty good. Everywhere we've been, I mean, there's been some excitement. You could hear it in their voice and their conversation.
Come about to me.
Exactly.
There's no question in my mind. Come football season, the ratings will go up here.
I want to toast all of you and your spouses and potentially significant others, if there are any, and just tell you what a treat it is for us to have you here.
You know, one of the things that he exemplified in all of us is the humanity that's in him. He cares about humanity, and I think that's why he's being blessed. And he's the kind of guy, he's taken his resources and he's investing in people. And that's a great thing to see.
Wonder about Robert Kraft. Did he ever dream he would own the New England Patriots? Did he ever dream he could do these great things that he does throughout the world, that he could have a beneficial impact on an entire nation like Israel? I don't think so.
I think the fact that we have friends who come here, like Bob, and he brings these tremendous athletes, is an affirmation that we can all do the impossible.
This is a guy who cares about not only for his football team, but he cares about Israel. He cares about other people, and I love the guy.
And this trip is changing the lives of Hall of Famers, some of the greatest who've ever played the game, who are now going to go back and be ambassadors.
It's been so meaningful and so purposeful to be able to walk the streets that Jesus walked, to see where Paul preached from, or to be able to touch the tomb and different things like that. I couldn't ask for a better trip.
This trip has changed my life, and I thank God for it, and I thank God for you, Mr. Kraft.
Now for Turf, brought to you by Gillette. It's Eagle Week, meaning we don't have Rob Gronkowski. He's out for this football
game.
So you got Scott Chandler.
Yep.
5 go routes down the sideline. I don't want to see those anymore. Last week in Denver. What did he do well, though?
Yeah, I don't ever want to see him running a go route flexed out of the perimeter. Okay, red zone, sure. How about a seam route?
Okay, I'll be the quarterback.
Seam route, yeah, that works. I'm the tight end, bam. I'm hitting, I'm using these numbers as a guide. I can see the whole field if I need to slow down. I can if I need to get up.
But what does Tom like to do? Throw it up high.
Throw it up.
Where
back shoulder works. How about a nice little under route? Maybe
perfect.
A misdirection.
Off
I line up here.
Play action, a jump fake.
And then real easy.
Boom.
I can either sit down in the zone or I keep going. Real easy read. All right, here's what we definitely got to talk about.
Pass
the OPI on Gronk. Here's the one thing you need to know. I don't care where they're set up, where the linebacker is, where the strong safety is. If you're running a route and he engages you or you engage him, do not push off. That's a two-hand push.
Extension of the hand.
And even if you go out, you can't do that. I don't care if you miss. Even if you miss and you extend your hand, that's a red flag. They're going to call it.
Chicken flip.
Here's what you do. Here's your chicken wing, okay? Same situation. Use a little bit more of your body. You get into them. Just use your arm. Use that for separation and then disengage. There's your separation. No flag will be called.
Are those
first
wings?
Down, move the chains.
Are those wings? We're playing
it's
Eagle.
A nice segue for the...
Let me cut those.
I'm flying
the
with one arm. I need a smoothie.
The Eagles are flying to town, and on Sunday, the Patriots will be asked to do what they haven't yet this season, overcome a loss. And they'll have to do it without the help of one of their biggest stars. I'm Miranda Mason, and here's a look at your storylines. Last week, Rob Gronkowski suffered a late fourth quarter knee injury. We're not expecting Gronk to suit up on Sunday, so that begs the question, who will be Tom Brady's biggest weapon? And while the Patriots are fighting injuries, the Eagles are fighting to stay alive. Philadelphia faces a must-win situation in order to remain in contention for playoffs, though that effort should be aided by the return of quarterback Sam Bradford. And the Patriots are 48-8 with Tom Brady as a starter in December. With the win, the Patriots have a chance to clinch the division. And if conditions are right around the rest of the division, say a Jets loss, Bill Belichick could clinch his 13th division title. That'll do it for your storylines. Now let's take a look at opponent news, brought to you by Geico.
The opponent news is brought to you by Geico.
Chip Kelly's Eagles have struggled mightily the last 2 weeks, and know they will face an angry Patriots team on Sunday.
A lot of people can get sidetracked with what perceptions are, and we have to really focus on the reality. And the reality for us is the New England Patriots. And let's dig into this and let's get after it and prepare for playing against a really good football team.
Now let's check in with Coach Belichick and Scott Zolak because it's time for the Belistrator.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time now for what you've been waiting for, the Belistrator. Big breakdown of the Philadelphia Eagles. Coach, here we go. Offensively, what do we have?
Well, this is Darren Sproles. Yep. And he's, you know, a threat every time he touches the ball, whether it's on punt returns or from the backfield as a runner or as a receiver. Here it's against the Jets. You know, the Jets do a good job here. They punt the ball within a couple of yards of the sideline. They're in a great position. Got him pinned back in there. And he gets out of it with his quickness, his burst, breaking tackles, and, you know, turns it into a 90-yard touchdown. So special teams, Philadelphia led the league in special teams last year, and they'll be right up at the top again this year as well.
Okay, tie game here, evened up right here, second quarter. Here's the kickoff.
Kickoff coverage. Chris Maragos is kind of their lead guy. Good speed, very aggressive. You can see him coming down here, and he's going to work his way through the traffic. Makes a hit inside the 15-yard line, knocks the ball loose. He brings a lot of energy and toughness to the team, and really kind of their flag carrier on special teams.
You know, like you're Brandon Bolden, right? One of those big hits. Yeah,
that's right. And does a great job of covering kicks. He's also the personal protector on the punt team. And so they have good skill players, good returners, and also good cover players. There's no plays off on special teams against the Eagles. Field goal rush, they do a great job of mixing it up. They come inside, they come outside. Here they are coming off the short side of the field, off the edge, which is, you know, a little bit unusual, but they get great penetration and movement inside. So every play on special teams is a challenge against the Eagles.
Okay, good push right there by them. All right, moving on here.
Well, defensively, you know, it all starts with, you know, them turning the ball over, you know, making big plays on defense. You know, they do a great job of one of the top turnover teams in the league. D'Amico Ryan's coming up making a hit. You know, they had four turnovers in the New Orleans game. They've been able to turn the ball over, and that's, we're going to have to do a good job of taking care of the football. They do an excellent job of knocking it out, intercepting it, and stripping it. Here you can see this is Graham here at the top of the screen dropping off into coverage. They throw Reed a little pass over the middle. See, Reed doesn't really put the ball away as securely as he should. And Graham comes in here from the backside, knocks it out right there. And turnovers, again, you know, they right at the top of the league. And they get them strip sacks, fumbles, interceptions. They cause them in all three areas.
So that's a pretty good look by then your scout team defense these past couple days in practice where they're trying to strip it out. That's kind of how you apply it, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, we need to do that. And it's Fletcher Cox, you know, I think one of the top defensive linemen in the league. He's big, strong, very athletic, can rush the passer, play the run, really does it all. A guy that, you know, doesn't get a lot of publicity, but real good football player. Again, one of the top defensive linemen in the league. And you can see him just kind of manhandling the Giants offensive line back
center
on the backfield.
Center getting help, too. Wow.
Yeah, he handles double teams. I mean, excellent in the pass rush as well. You know, offensively, they have a very good running game. Three good backs with, you know, Murray, Sproles, and Matthews. This is Murray, and, you know, you can see his vision here. He comes and kind of got things clogged up and is able to, you know, bring it out the backside. Now he's got some space, good quickness, good balance, good running skill. He's got some power, and their running game is very good with their backs. And, of course, that sets up, you know, a lot of good play-action passes as well.
Okay, here we go, and this has got to be a play-action pass here.
Right, so coming off the, you know, the stretch fake here. You know, Riley Cooper has been a big home run guy for him, a big physical receiver. You know, usually plays over here to the offensive left, defensive right. You know, here this is a good example of, you know, Bradford just, you know,
give
making
a
great throw here, give him a chance. Yep, see him get a step on the corner and put it back there, you know, on top of the free safety. And again, an easy 60-yard touchdown. So they get you with a running game, and then if you're just a little bit over-aggressive on that, then they, you know, they can hit big plays in the passing game. They have a real big group of receivers. Most of these guys are, you know, over 6 feet tall, over 200 pounds. This is Jordan Matthews going down the middle of the field. You can see a big target there for Bradford to hit on the middle read. So very talented group, very explosive group of skill players. And again, great execution here on the throw and the catch. You know, another easy 30 yards right down the middle of the field. So
that's what you don't want to do right there. There's big plays over the top.
That's right. We can't give those up.
It's good to be back home, though. Get back on track.
Sounds good.
All right, good luck against the Eagles. There's your Bellish Trader. More of All Access back right after this.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access, everyone. Time now for our panel discussion at our Bob's Discount Furniture Studio with Mike Reese and Paul Perillo. And we're not used to this. Patriots are actually coming off a loss.
Yeah, you're doing okay?
I am doing okay.
Clearly the fourth quarter in overtime yelling at the refs.
And we'll get to that in just a second. But let's just recap what happened. What actually happened in Denver?
You know, there was a lot of different things. You know, obviously the health was a major factor in the game, I think on both sides. But to be fair, Denver was missing a lot of guys too. But sure. The Patriots, you know, missing the amount of personnel they had on offense, you knew it was going to be a lower scoring game. Mike and I both thought the offense would struggle. And then you couple that with some really uncharacteristic Patriots mistakes in the fourth quarter. I think they were in control of the game up 21-7. You mishandled the punt, Chris Harper. I think the game's over if he fields that punt. I don't see Denver making that kind of comeback. It's very uncharacteristic Patriots football.
Yeah, from a big picture, I thought, you know, they played well and to be in that position,
yes,
to be up double digits in the fourth quarter. So I give them credit for that, Steve. And I thought they showed a lot of character to go into that situation shorthanded and be in that position. Then it's about closing the deal. And that the Patriots have been so good,
absolutely,
over the years under Bill Belichick, closing the deal in the fourth quarter with a double-digit lead. To see that slip away, I think, yes, some of the calls, you know, you can look at, say, didn't go their way, but there were plays to be made for them, and they didn't make them in the game.
Some of the calls didn't go their way?
Yeah.
Some of the calls?
Yeah. I hated some of the calls, I'll be honest with you, and I'm not general.
How about
I am
all the calls in the fourth quarter didn't go their
way? Yes, I always rip the officials, and that's pretty much across the board. I never think they do a good job, but I'm not generally one of those guys that says, well, that team lost because of the officials. It had a big part to do with this. But Mike is right. They had opportunities to close, and they didn't. They weren't able to finish it off. And it's very uncharacteristic of the way this team has played.
So my thought on the officials, Steve, is they didn't help the cause, but they're not the reason the Patriots lost.
That's
I want to go deeper into Gronkowski and the OPI calls. He has six against him this year, and that includes offsetting and decline penalties. Easily a league high. And I went back and watched all six of them, and I'll tell you, only two of them I thought were clear-cut calls, and it does raise the question as to whether the officials are, I don't want to say targeting him, but looking closer at him, holding him to a higher standard.
They
and, Steve, I think they
him.
Are.
I
think
agree
they
with Mark.
Yeah.
They
and
I think the tight
him.
Ends in particular, I don't think, get much love.
How do you think Gronk handled his injury? And let's talk about who's calling the shots here when it comes to Gronk. And
well,
the injury report.
Certainly his family is very closely involved with his career. We know that. We've seen how much interaction there is there. When he went down, obviously I was like everybody else, and you know I appeared to see a guy in immense pain, so I thought the worst. And I can't remember really a time when the cart came on the field to take a player off the field in an NFL game, and that didn't end the guy's season.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, it doesn't look like that's going to be the case.
Which
it's
is a great thing.
They dodged a bullet.
And let's sort of boil it down to the simplest stuff here, Steve. What are we talking about? The Patriots, who are very tight-lipped about injuries.
Yes.
Ask Bill Belichick about an injury, and usually the response is, we'll update it on the injury report on Wednesday of that week, which is the first day you do that. Well, this was completely out of character for them to put out a joint statement with the team and Gronkowski to sort of update his status. Why did they do that? What are the dynamics in play here? You have the team. You have the Gronkowski family, as Paul said, that's very involved in him. And you also have Gronkowski's agent, Drew Rosenhaus. And I think the mix of those three parties and some of the information that came out immediately after the injury, even a day after the injury, led to that conclusion. Read into that as you may.
Philadelphia prediction time.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I am not on the ledge in this game at all. I know that some people are worried about Gronkowski not playing. If Amendola can come back, I don't think they need either one of them to get enough offense to beat a team that's allowed 45 points to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Detroit Lions. I don't anticipate this game being difficult. I think it's an angry team that feels like they let one slip away, and I think they smack around the Eagles, I don't know, 27-10.
I'll go 33-17. We'll see some more points this week.
More points, 33 points this week.
Yeah, well, right, 45, gosh, like Paul said.
Yeah, I mean, the turnovers could lead it. It's up into the 30s, too. I agree with Mike. This is not going to be a difficult game.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Stevie.
All right. That'll do it for this week's edition of Patriots All Access. For Mike Reese and Paul Perillo, I'm Steve Burton. Have a great week, everybody. See you later.